Exodus chapter, I believe it's 16. I'll get there myself. Yes, Exodus chapter 16. Sweet manna. That's what we're going to look at. Sweet manna. Exodus chapter 16. We'll look at one verse for now, and then we'll look at a few verses in the same chapter. Exodus 16 and verse 35. Exodus 16 and verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. So the manna stopped. The cloudy pillar stopped. The flame stopped. And when they were crossed over, all they had was the ark, picture of Christ. This is like the believer. As we go through this wilderness wandering, how are we going to make it? The manna. The manna. This sweet manna is undoubtedly a glorious picture of two things. The Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the Lord Jesus Christ. More specifically, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or the written Word and the incarnate Word which dwelt among us. Let's look at this morning. Now, there's a bunch more in here. There's a bunch more types of both of these. I'm just going to hit the highlights, the ones that blessed me in study. Manna, first of all, manna as the written word. Manna as this book here, as we read it. The first thing we know, if we know anything about the story of the manna, is that it came down from heaven. I don't know if they really asked for it. But they got that, and they got the quail. They were hungry. You know, they were going to starve to death. And the Lord brought this by. So it's a supernatural gift. It's a supernatural gift. This book is no less a supernatural gift to humans. Written around 40 authors over 1,500 years. 66 books, yet God breathed. Inspiration is God breathed. That's what the word inspired by God. God breathed. Without error, able, says the scriptures, to make one wise unto salvation. We would do well to daily crack this book open because it's from God. It came down from heaven, from the God who is blessed over all forever. Second thing about this word. Now it says, I think it's specifically in verse 14 of the same of Exodus 16, when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as a hoarfrost on the ground. It was small. It was round. Symmetrical, complete, whole. What you saw is what you got. That was it right there. So too is this blessed book. It is perfect in its symmetry regarding sin, salvation, and the complete work of our kinsman redeemer. If you thought about it, you couldn't really add. I mean, you know, if even the most theologically studied scholars, if they looked at it, what would you add to it? What would you take away from it? It's complete. It's whole. It's perfectly harmonious. I remember Gary Shepherd preached a message years ago at a conference. He talked about the harmony of the gospel. And he started up here and talked about all these different things. And when he finished, he got back to where he started. This gospel is perfectly harmonious. How many times have we needed a precise help in time of need? And you talk to your friend, old friend, new friend, believing friend, unbelieving friend, and it just doesn't do you any good. You read some good books. It doesn't do you any good. And then you open the Bible, and bam, the Lord, by the inspiration, by the Holy Spirit, with our spirit, and the next thing you know, you're crying, Abba, Father. You may be weeping, Abba, Father, but it's tears of joy. Only this book has perfect harmony, symmetry in its architecture, in its scope, in its fulfillment. Every jot and tittle of this book, like the manna, it met their need. It was to be eaten. The manna was, they crushed it. They did different things with it. Said it tasted, it was sweet like honey. It was to be eaten. This book, you should read. I should read. You can't be saved. Your parents can't save you. Your friends and neighbors can't save you. You can't save them. But you can. They need to look at the book. They need to look at the book. Because in here is Christ and Him crucified. Every page, every jot and tittle is concerning His Son. This sacred word, we are to take it in, inward. We're to digest it, chew it. This is to be done. It was, look at verse 18. And when they did meet out, it went out with an omer. He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. They were to eat it. They were to. It's amazing how even as being one who confesses Christ, how often, how slow I am to go to look at this book. I'll go any which way. I got an issue, trouble. I'll go grab the wallet first, try to solve it financially. We just do everything but look to Christ. And we find Christ in this book. But we are to, it's to be eaten individually, personally. The next thing about the manna, it was preserved in the ark. Look at verses 32 and 33 and 34. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it upon before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. It was preserved. They put it in the ark. They preserved it. So too has God preserved His word as it regards Himself. I got to looking. This is this morning. I got thinking more about it last night. How many book burnings has there been in history? A lot. I thought, our mind goes back to German, to Nazi Germany. But if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 36, that's maybe the first time. Jeremiah the prophet, he wrote some stuff down and he gave it to his scribe, and the scribe read it to the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon heard it, didn't like it. There was a hearth burn right there. He cut him up with scissors. It says a knife. He cut and he threw it in there. So from that point, and there may have been earlier, but from that point, I was scrolling on like that. That's how many I was going before I got to Nazi Germany. Luther, same thing. Pope, burn. Wycliffe. A lot of his writings, Grace of God, the Gospel, burnt. So how many book burnings has there been? Dozens throughout history. Yet this book has been passed down throughout the ages. It's astonishing indeed that it survived. Why? Because God will not leave Himself without testimony. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Until that last elect sheep is drawn in, His word will not, it's just going to get, it endures forever. It endures forever. And we've got it written down here. Now, I was looking. We have, the Protestants, 66 books. The Catholics have 73. This book is preserved. It's preserved. It's been translated in more languages than any other book. It's manna. Gift from God. Let us open it. Let us meditate on it. Let us chew it. Let us digest it. Let us gather together around it. Let us encourage one another through it. Like I said last week, there's nothing that we can go through that is not, we cannot find comfort and aid, protection, assistance in this book. And I'm thankful that it's so. Secondly, this manna is a type of Christ, and we know that. Just some of the illustrations, it comes down from heaven, etc. Christ came down from, we know that. But here, the first thought, this just is so startling to me. It is so much like me. It is so much like you. It is so disgusting, so vile. Look with me at the first four verses of the chapter 16. Now, they're just starting to take their journey. They had just seen, not just, but a month or so, they'd seen what God had done to the Egyptians. He wiped them all out. He preserved them. They took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. That's interesting. Which is between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So it had not been that long ago that they'd seen the glory of God in protecting grace. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. There, that's us. Against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. No wonder it's called the wilderness of sin. They're tried. Now they're hungry and they're tired. But didn't they just get, shouldn't they have been annihilated when they were backs were against the Red Sea? So what do you suspect God's going to do? This is Old Testament now. What do you expect God to do? Fire and brimstone, right? Look at verse 3. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So the first thought of Christ, the manna being Christ, instead of justice and wrath, look at what he says, verse 7. Behold, listen, stop, pay attention to what's going to be written afterwards. And as Moses, pay attention to what Moses is going to speak to you regarding my command. Do we not see how gracious and merciful our Lord is by sending us his darling son instead of mass destruction? If this country could only see this, what glorious day that would be. But this country is so self-absorbed. Oh, we're the best country in the world. I think that's true, but that's not in a prideful way, in a gracious way. But this, the politicians and the people who run, no, it's just pride, arrogancy, all these different things. It's a wonder the Lord has not knocked our props out from underneath us and made us like Ethiopia, made us like these other countries that instead of having extra money to do things, recreational things, they have money to just, Lynn and I were talking about this, they're looking for that day's bread, to spend that money for that day. We have so much in this country and are so unthankful. We're just like these people. What? You're going to make me wait? This is fast food. I want my food now. Murmuring and complaining. All the time. We have so technology and everything. All this these different things. Ungrateful. even believers, and this is, I'm not speaking to anybody else but who's here, murmured and complained. They had just seen the grace of God and protection them from that the Red Sea. Murmured against God, against Moses, against Aaron, in the wilderness of sin. That's our issue. It's always our issue. Something goes, we get crossways, we get aggravated. We can't find our one of 200 pairs of shoe, but it's not the shoe I want. I can't find the other shoe. Socks? Oh, they're going to match. These are things that we just don't even think about. What we take for granted. As last week or something, I was just sideways. I said, I don't know what, I'm aggravated. Everything that I did and saw and she did aggravated me. And then I just saw for what it was. It's just foolishness. This is sin. I could get on Facebook and friend one of my friends in Africa, and I bet you he's just trying to make a living. That day's bread. Do they have refrigerators? I don't know. We do, and we got them packed full of food. But are we happy? No, because the turkeys were, oh my, they were, you had to pay $4 or $5 more this year. We got meat on the table. You see what I'm saying? It's a wonder that we are still standing. It's a wonder the Lord just says, wiped us out. Why? Because, behold, I will rain. I should rain. You deserve to have rain, fire and brimstone, but I'm going to rain bread from heaven. Bread from heaven. Rebellion is met with grace, mercy and truth, found only in the Son, the manna from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He, by the freeness of his favor, sends the Lamb of God among sinners. Those sinners knew him not. Food sent instead of fire and brimstone. Though we fail and sin time and time again, yet he remaineth faithful. He will honor his covenant. He will honor his Son's work. And he will honor the Holy Spirit's enabling. Why do we, Thanksgiving, and I enjoy Thanksgiving, most of the holidays, we need to be thankful. Isn't that what the believer should be every day? Once a year? Turn with me to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65 and verse 24. This is the grace of God to you and I if we know him. Isaiah 65 verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. People say that you believe in election and predestination, you make God a monster. No. We see God as holy and just, but so merciful. He is not giving us what we deserve, is what it says in another place in the scriptures. He has not dealt with us after our iniquities. Secondly, the people partook of the manna. The Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, us, future generations, the Jews only, all of God's elect, or Israel, will enjoy the bounties of God's unmeasurable, superabounding grace. Whether you're weak, you're strong, you're young or old, Christ is the sum and substance of all grace to every one of his chosen seed. Every one of them partook it. Some more, some less. If you were hungry, it was there. And that's what I say to us here today. If we're hungry, the word is the written word and the incarnate word. And that's why we gather together to speak of him and enjoy his presence. Thirdly, the manna came to the people. The Israelites were in immediate danger of starvation. But at this moment, he says, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. At this moment, at this exact time, at this exact place, God in Christ Jesus is a very present Redeemer. A very present Redeemer. He come unto his own, but his own received him not. He came from heaven. We tried to go to heaven one time. We tried to construct a tower of Babel, and we're confused. And that's the way man's works are. No matter how small it is, if it's 99% grace and 1% works, it's not grace. He must do the work. It's a look and live. It's a taste, and we'll see the experience is goodness. It's a trust, and we know all is well. Believe upon him, and thou shalt be saved. He's very present. Fourthly, daily they tasted the sweetness of this manna. Every day they would go out. Now, they didn't go out Sunday. It was the Sabbath. They would gather more. And, of course, you read in here, and then some went out on the Sabbath, and there wasn't any there. And they were told not to hoard it, just take exactly what you need. And some took more than they needed, and it bred worms and stunk. But on Saturday, they got twice as much, and it didn't stink. That doesn't make it. No, nothing in the Bible makes sense to our flesh. Nothing makes common sense. It's by faith. It didn't bred worms on the Sabbath, as they collected extra. They were told not to collect extra during those days. Give us this day our daily bread. And I know I've said this before, and that's not for me. It's Henry or Scott or somebody. You know, he was talking to somebody, and they're concerned about dying grace. He said, I don't know if I'm going to have dying grace. He said, he just cut through like these older guys could. He just cut through. He says, are you dying? Well, no. He goes, you don't need it. You don't need dying grace right now. You will. And we talked about one this morning, John and Betty. Give us this day our daily bread. And I got thinking about that. I almost said something, but we were running out of time, Bible class. I was thinking about something. Lynn and I were talking about it. John and Betty, who simply believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they were not complicated, complex people. They didn't have much. They didn't have hardly anything. It was always, they were always in debt, always, and that was always a bother. But the Lord took care of them. That, what an example. I mean, I was thinking about that. We look at ourselves and we have so much extra. There were times they were down to one car. They were always concerned about money, but the Lord provided for them. Shame on us. And we have this extra, extra, and extra. The Lord will take care of us. They tasted of the sweetness of the manna every day. And we should look into this book every day, but more so, we ought to go to the Lord, who's been so gracious to us, and not worry about if there's an atomic attack and the electricity goes out and all this kind of stuff. Humanly speaking, if our power grid goes down, there's going to be massive deaths. Because nobody knows how to live without a refrigerator. Nobody knows how to live without salt. They don't know any of this stuff. But am I going to worry about that? Am I going to be an end time person? Am I going to have a conspiracy theorist? No, because I know my God is on the throne, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased, as we heard this morning, and he's for us, and he's not against us. Or as one of the old Puritans would say, or we're going to be ushered to glory. We worry about so many things that never happen. We got a new grandson. Wonderful, lovely. A whole set of problems to worry. A whole set of things. It's of the Lord. He will do what's fit, what's right. And he cannot do wrong. He cannot do wrong by his people. Give us this day our daily bread, our daily Christ, our daily needs supplied, our daily frailness strengthened. It says, Christ says, in my body and blood, eat that. We partake of Christ. When we do the Lord's Supper, and every time we gather together, we break bread, open the word. He is altogether lovely. He is our only hope, our only comfort, and our only peace. And the more you live in this world, the more you look in the Word, and the more you find, you'll realize that. You'll realize this world is, I thought,
you know, when Linda and I first got married, I thought, well, I'm going to change her. You know, she's going to like sports. She's going to like this. She's going to like that. Because she wasn't sports-minded, nothing. And now I'm more like her. I think sports are just, it's a waste of time.
Any country that spends so much time worshiping, it's idolatry. It really is. I remember years ago, somebody said sports was of the devil. And I just thought that was the stupidest thing. And I thought about that last week. And this has probably been 40 years. How long? Well, it's been 40 years. We've been married. And I thought, you know, that ain't too far off. It's got the kids. Wednesday doesn't matter anymore. Sunday doesn't matter anymore. Sports, sports, sports. All the time. And that's just one thing. You don't even talk about drinking. Don't talk about this, the social media, all this stuff. It's amazing. Christ is all we need every day. Every day. Every day. When the brethren in the New Testament, they gathered together and they had such things in common, they daily edified one another and they talked about the things of the grace of God. They didn't talk about all this other stuff. And I'm not saying we don't need to talk about it. I'm saying just live your life. Like Bruce says, live your life. But we live a lot of it outside with our eyes off of Christ. He's altogether lovely. He is only hope, or only comfort, only peace. Lastly, really, Israel had no other sustenance. They had the quail, but it says in the last part of this verse, this is the last, the verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited, was promised. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. So we know this, there was no other sustenance. And if you want to talk about the quail, quails, it's a picture of Christ as well. He's our meat. He is our only bread from heaven. We only really need him for eternal life. You know, somebody years ago, you can't live on love. We live on Christ's love. We come unto him, all we labor, and we're heavy laden, and he gives us rest. And he supplies us all these things. He supplies us with food and groceries and money and time and all these things that other places really wish they had. He is our portion, our life, our glory, both here and hereafter. Acts says he's the only Savior among men. He's the only Savior. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not the Pope. Christ and Christ alone. So in closing, may we feed upon this book and may we feed and meditate upon him. Turn with me to Psalms 104 in closing. Psalms 104, verse 33 and 34. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet, just like that manna. I will be glad in the Lord. And that's, we're glad in a lot of things. And I'm glad in a lot of things. But really, the only true spiritual gladness is in Christ. And I'm not saying don't enjoy, you know, in a couple of days I'm going to enjoy our grandson. We're going to enjoy these things. But Christ is what we glory in. Christ is what we're glad in. Christ is most sweet to us. And I'm thankful that he's shown us this. And that last verse in Exodus, it said they had manna all the time until they came. And we must feed on this word And he will never leave us nor forsake us until we go to heaven. Then we'll be with him forever. Just like the manna. They had it every day. Every day. He will never leave us or forsake us, but lead us into his everlasting arms as we pass over Jordan and we come into Canaan. But the desire of the believer is, like in Revelations, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We desire to see you face to face. Bruce, would you close us?